Mood.tv.
Hey, and welcome to the Derek D Dozen. 2 dozen minutes of podcastness. Not too long, not too short, just the perfect length. Get your mind out of the gutter. Anyway, this is part 3 of the exclusive interview with my dad. Yes, exclusive, because I'm the only one that was able to get this highly coveted interview with Anthony DeAngelis, my dad. Fun fact, no middle name. My dad has no middle name, just Anthony DeAngelis, straight up. Now, every major network wanted him, but I got the exclusive. That being said, make sure you follow the show on Instagram, at Derek D Dozen. Again, as I said in part 1 and 2, you can watch this interview on my YouTube channel. There is video to this. You can watch and listen. There's pictures. It's a lot more interactive. So click the link in the description of this episode or in the description of part 1 or part 2 so you can watch and listen. Or head to DerekD.com where you can find all my social media as well as my YouTube channel. In part 2, we talked a lot about my dad and my family's connection with the mob. And at the end, how a cousin of my dad's stole his grandfather's guns and sold them for heroin. As you do. So we kind of ended there in part 2, and we pick up talking about my immediate family, some collections we had, alcohol addiction, and his liver transplant. So take it away, Dad and me. We're the classic Italian family where, like, we're sitting around the dinner table and it's just diarrhea of the mouth. Everyone's saying what's going on in their life. And it's funny, you bring people into our circle and they're like, I can't believe how you guys just talking stuff.
Everybody's talking.
And I go, well, there's that when you have like a Thanksgiving or Christmas or something. But it's, I think it's a testament to growing up that way and close-knit family. But it's funny. So my point is, we're close and we have been for our entire lives, yet my dad says something like that. I never heard that, the heroin thing. Like, I never heard about guns from the Civil War, and never heard about a cousin who sold them for heroin. Like, this is why I wanted to have my dad on here. Like, this is such cool things that I don't know about, and I know a lot of things.
Well, not only that, he had a collection of sabers too, swords.
Oh, of course he did. Sabers.
From all different wars.
If he still had those, it would have been worth so much money now.
Man, it was a real bummer in the family when...
My dad had a Mickey Mantle rookie, too, that got stolen. Jeez.
Yeah.
Classic grew up North Jersey, like the kids in the neighborhood came around, you know, they would fight the other kids in the neighborhood.
They stole 2 things. They stole my baseball cards and my Lionel trains.
Yeah, I know that story. Those would be worth money, too.
Yeah, I had a lot of them.
Yeah, see, now Mickey Mantle, we worth a lot of money. I'm sitting over here with X-Men... characters up in the house I grew up in, my mom and dad's house now, up in the attic, hoping they make money, but it ain't worth nothing.
Didn't you have Ninja Turtles too?
Yeah, I do. They're still up in the attic, but they're not in the case. If they were in the original case, they'd be worth some more money. But I have them all. I guess I could sell them. I never thought of that. There's a lot of stuff up in that attic that's probably worth money.
I was bummed when my baseball cards were stolen.
Yeah, I bet. So let's move to later in life. I mean, Dad, you're what, 73?
4.
74. You don't look 74. You've been through a lot, but you and mom, you both look great. Later on in life, you've been through a lot. You've been through a lot. My sister's been through a lot. You know, for those of you listening that don't know, my sister gave basically donated her liver to my dad, 65% of her liver. And then the cool thing about a liver regrows. That's the only organ that actually regenerates. You could take it out of someone else, put it in someone, and it regenerates, which is pretty cool. But my dad, you know, I think sometimes you're too hard on yourself. You feel as if, I think, maybe, you know, you should have done things differently with maybe us or me, Jay, and Liz. But it was never the thing, like, you know, it's no secret that you had a problem with alcohol. But it wasn't, you know, never the type of thing where you'd come home mad or angry or anything. It wasn't like that. Like,
I never took it out on you guys.
Yeah, it was never that kind of thing. It was never that kind of thing.
Just drank too much.
Yeah. Probably back in the day. You know, maybe playing music and stuff, and you were drinking, your stage fright on stage would help you ease the tension, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Didn't hurt.
Yeah. But anyway, we've talked about that. Like I said, we're very open. We know about it. And I've said to my dad plenty of times, it was never a thing like, I can't believe you. I don't like you. I hate you. Like, never, ever. Because it was never like that for us kids growing up. We always grew up. It was always a lot of fun. Very loving household.
And I wasn't a sloppy falling down drunk.
No, either. No, not at all. It's just you had a problem and it came to a head later in life. Like, something, you looked pale and stuff and everything, and mom and Liz took you to the hospital or something.
That's when it was right around my birthday, 2014. I was 16.
It wasn't before that?
No. I finally completely put alcohol down. Never had another drink since in August of 2014.
Right. Yeah. But it was before that all this happened. Like,
I started to get sick.
Something happened and then you stopped and then you did it. You were drinking again, like on the sly a little bit.
Not a little bit. Yeah.
And that was self-medicating. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you did that. That never works, folks. That's not going to work with anything, drugs, alcohol, whatever. But I want to be clear. I hope you know that at least me, and I'm pretty sure I can speak for Liz and Jay, we were never like not proud of you. We're never like not like, oh, I can't believe what an idiot. You know what I mean? Obviously, we have our arguments and things like that. But it was never like that. It was never because you and mom always were solid. I mean, yeah, you had your issues, obviously, in a relationship. That's always tough. But I mean, as parents, look how we turned out. Obviously, we took different directions. We don't have 9-to-5s, but we're all good kids. So I would ask you, do you think...
I'm proud of all of you.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And do you think... Because I think sometimes you're hard on yourself and don't think you were as successful as you should be or should have been. Do you think right now that you were a success? Are you happy in what happened?
Well, in light of the fact that I bought my first house when I was 33, which is not very old, I managed to buy the house in Ocean Grove.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we started as far as owning our own home. And then we moved from that place to where we still are today, 36 years later. We bought that house in 85. The only thing I really regret, and I did do it eventually, that I didn't stay on the track to become a teacher, which is really what my guidance counselor talked me into in high school.
But you did become a teacher.
Yeah.
And you were a teacher for 15 years. You did that.
Oh, I know. But I...
So it's not like you didn't do it.
I always regretted that I didn't graduate college at 22 like most people do and teach for 25 years and get a nice pension.
You know what?
And all that.
Everyone's got a different path, Dad.
Oh, I know.
And you did a bunch of different... You did all kinds of different things. But so that's what I ask. Like, you know, would you say, yes, I was successful in life?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think you should.
I think I would.
I mean, you look at us, how we turned out. You look at our family. You look at what we've done for you. And I know things aren't easy sometimes. Sometimes things aren't easy with family and stuff like that. But, you know, moving forward, and this brings it all back to, you know, you recognized you had a problem. You finally said, nope, I got to stop drinking. You did. Stop. You were like, it's not good for my family. It's not good for my wife. And things are going to go south if I keep going. South in the sense of like, you were going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the love of Alyssa, who gave me half of her liver. I mean, that wasn't easy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very thankful and grateful to her. You know, one of the things I also kind of regret is that I didn't stay with music because I knew I had ability.
That's what I was wondering about that too. That's what I was asking before.
And I often wonder where might it have taken me if I really gave it the harder go, you know?
Yeah.
And worked at staying in the music industry and doing something. That's kind of a regret that I have.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't say that overall I'm unsuccessful. I think we have a good life, and I think that we've done a lot of good things.
I remember growing up, and I think I could speak for Jay and Leitz when I say this too, is that we always felt completely provided for. Our grandparents lived in Florida, went to Disney World a lot. We had this awesome conversion van that we would drive down to Florida and play Nintendo in and everything. Like, I love that. That was so much fun. There was never something where I was like, oh, I wish I could. I mean, I'm a kid, of course, like, I wish I could have all this and all that. But I mean, my 8th grade graduation with the money, I bought a go-kart. Like, you know, there was never... Like I said, I hope you don't ever beat yourself up thinking, oh man, I wish I did this. It would have been better for my family with that. And you shouldn't ever hold, you know, I know in the past you have held that and like,
there was a time I felt
down on yourself. I think that's why you were self-medicating.
Oh yeah.
Because you were like, I don't know, you know, is this where I want to be? Was I a success? And you just need to get rid of all that.
Yeah, I even questioned whether I was a good dad or not.
I think you did. But look at us. You know, none of us are perfect. but we all turned out pretty good.
No, I think that I worked hard to try to be a good dad.
Yeah, you and mom. You and mom. And you know, obviously, I think mom is the glue to it all.
Well, yeah. In fact, mom is the reason. I think that if I was single in the days, early days of our marriage, when I was only 25 and
when did you guys get married?
I was 25. She was 22.
Wow. Yeah. But back then, that was more the right, more the normal thing, I guess.
And I'm proud of it. But this September is 50 years.
50. Yes, that's right. I was going to get to that.
We have our 50th anniversary.
September will be 50 years married.
I have no idea where the years went.
But that's amazing, though.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I wouldn't change anything.
As you shouldn't. That's what I'm asking.
I married the girl I met on the day President Kennedy was assassinated.
That's right. I had that. That was one of the rapid fire questions.
That's the day I met mom.
Yeah, 1963.
I was the hall monitor for the door that the freshman came in when he came back from lunch, and I opened the door
in high school.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The guys on a football team.
Nutley, New Jersey.
Yep.
Nutley Raiders.
Yep. We all used to have jobs like on our free periods. And mine was in the hallway where the freshmen came in. There was one door that they had to use.
Yeah.
And mom was a freshman. I was a junior. And I was at the door. And I opened the door, you know, at a certain time when the lunches were over and the kids would come back in. And she came in and I said, oh, guys, you're not going to believe this. We just heard that President Kennedy was shot. We didn't know he was dead yet. And she walked in, and I said to my friend Frankie, who was also on the football team, and he was like at the door with me.
Yeah.
You know, it was his responsibility as well. I said, Frankie, you see that girl right there? He said, yeah, I said, I'm going to marry her someday. He goes, yeah, right.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
And here we are on a podcast, which if they said that word to you back in 1963, you'd be like, What are you going fishing? What is it for? In a pond? What did you say? Pondcast? but yeah, and that's crazy. 50 years, and that's amazing. And congratulations on that. And
thanks.
It's
a lot of years.
Yeah, it is. And I think, and that's not counting the many years you've just been together.
I met mom in 1960, as you said, 63.
Yeah, so that's a long, long time.
8 years later that we got married.
Right. But I just think it's really cool how close our family is. And when I think sometimes you think like, maybe they'd be like, I wish we would maybe talk more and stuff like that. Like we talk more than any family I know of.
Yeah, we do talk a lot.
everyone in our families like knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm real close with all my cousins, and that's because of my dad, my Aunt Lainey, my Uncle John, and their kids. We're very close with all them because they grew up in a very tight-knit Italian close family. So it just keeps going like that, you know? That's why with Braden and stuff, every time he's over or he's going, I'm saying, make sure you hug Grandma and Papa. I say goodbye. Make sure you hug Aunt Lainey. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what you do. You don't just leave. You just, you know, it's like, and I want to make sure he knows that.
He gives me a hug at every soccer game.
That's what you got to do. That's the close Italian thing, and which is great. But I wanted to touch on that a little bit. So my sister gave my dad, that was what, 2018?
Oh, 19 was the transplant.
March 13th, 2019.
12th.
Oh, March 12th. Mm-hmm. March 12th, 2019 was the transplant. Yeah, and so my sister's, hers grew back and hers grew in you. Pretty amazing thing that they could even do that.
I really had no residual problems. I have to take medicine the rest of my life, which is to help my body so it never rejects the liver I got from somebody else's.
Yeah, but you don't ever feel, and this might be a pretty intense question, you don't feel guilty, do you?
I think I went through that already. I felt that briefly at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like I remember telling Alyssa, I don't want you to do that. I'll get a liver, don't worry.
Because it would have been from a donor who had passed away.
A dead person.
Yeah.
If I got one.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Therein lies the question.
They always say that if they could do it's always better where they could plan it out. You know, if they could take it from someone who's alive and put it in something.
Especially someone related to you directly.
Right, exactly.
Which of course, my daughter is. We're all the same blood type. You, me, Jason, and Alyssa.
Yeah. Well, I remember going through that all. You know, it was tough because I was like, well, shouldn't I be the one to do it? you know, I'm the older brother. And my sister was just like, no. She's like, because at the time I had moved home for almost a year. I was helping out mom with you. And that was quite intense. It was a very intense time going through that. And actually leaned on AK a lot, you know, because he was going through his thing with cancer. And I was, you know, but it was, but Liz was like, she's like, you moved home. You helped out. You did that. She's like, this is, I want to do this. This is my turn to help out. And she was adamant about it. She wasn't taking no for an answer. So, I mean, I commend her. That, I mean, that's.
I remember vividly.
That's crazy.
And she told me she had already gone through all the testing. I didn't know.
Yeah.
She was in my hospital room up in New York City. She said, Dad, I'm giving you liver.
Yeah.
I said, what? It was like out of the blue. I said, no. I don't want you to do that.
Yeah.
Because I was worried about her. She's too late. I'm already committed.
Liz has a very strong constitution, and she says she's going to do something, she's going to do it.
Well, you all do.
Yeah, that's true.
As a matter of fact.
But where do we get that from? You know, where do we, you know, you got to think our, you know, we're all different, obviously, in our own right. It's crazy how different me, Liz, and Jay are, yet we're all so close, but we're very different. But we're close, I think, because of how we were brought up, how you and mom brought us up, how, you know, we were taught. And I think you should be very proud of that, you know. And I always question myself because I'm like, you know, am I ever going to just make it in this damn business? But a lot of people I maybe would look at me and be like, you did make it.
Yeah.
You know, but, I, you know, there's always that.
Mom and I talk about it often, and we're proud of all three of you, you know. You're all college graduates, you know. We wanted you guys to go to college. You all did. You all graduated.
Yeah.
You know, we're proud of that. You know, I'm proud of you guys that you did it.
Yeah.
A lot of parents can't say that, you know. They got kids that are in trouble with drugs or trouble, whatever kind of trouble, you know.
Yeah. And you know, it's...
Even if we never have another grandchild, Braden's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah. Well, at least you have one. I mean, I would like to have one kid. I always say that. I just want one. You never know. We'll see. But so at this point in the interview, for some reason, my dad's mic and his audio had cut out. Like, I have no idea why. And I had thought about just boosting the audio in my mic really high to pick up what he was saying. But honestly, I didn't want it to sound like crap. It's been so good up until that point. And most of it was, you know, we did most of the interview already. But either way, I think it's a good point for me to jump in because, you know, we covered a lot of ground in these three episodes. And, you know, what we talked about after my dad's audio cut out was that at the time of the recording of that interview, my dad was actually diagnosed with prostate cancer. His, I think they're called PSA levels, you know, were through the roof, like way higher. I don't know what the numbers are supposed to be, but say if you're supposed to be at a 5, it was up in like the 40s, something crazy. But the main thing was to make sure it didn't spread because his prostate was literally covered in cancer. So, you know, when they gave him that test where you like drink some stuff, or I think it's like an IV that they put liquid into you, and wherever your body lights up on the scan shows where cancer is. And luckily, it was only on his prostate. It didn't spread, but his prostate lit up like the friggin' New Year's Eve ball. So, you know, since my dad has had so many surgeries, I mean, like so many, you know, the transplant, and there's too many to name. So instead of just going in and cutting it out, which they would have done on someone who was younger or didn't have all that scar tissue and surgeries, they opted for 9 weeks of radiation. 9 weeks. And I believe he had to go 6 days a week for 9 weeks. So heavy, heavy radiation. But basically his job for those 9 weeks was to get radiated almost every single day. But anyway, I'm happy to announce that since that recording and since then, he's gone through the radiation, has come out on the other end, and is cancer free, which is great. But that's not to say, you know, it didn't take a toll on his intestines and stuff. I mean, it did. It and when I say that, I mean it in the way that, like, you're probably thinking, you know, not sure when and where, he's got to be careful, you know, it's just sucks. And he still has residual effects, but thank God the cancer is gone. You know, it's weird. My dad, You know, he's like, I say, he's like the healthiest unhealthy guy, if that makes any sense. And I think it, you know, I think it stems, you know, from him being so active and an athlete his whole life. There really is truth to that. You know, when you're younger and even in later on in life, when you're not super young, if you stay active, if you work out, take care of your body, even if later in life you're not necessarily doing it at that level, it will help you, period, end of story. That's just fact. It really will. And I think that's the case with my dad. I mean, my dad's father, my grandfather passed away in his 50s, late 50s. You know, I was just about 4 when he passed away. And my dad always thought, oh, I'm never making it to there. And thank God, God willing, you know, my dad is 75 right now. It's pretty amazing. You know, yeah, he should eat way better. He's not very mobile because of his age. And even before we recorded this, like a while before, he had fractured a part of his shoulder slipping on ice. So that just sucked. His right shoulder, so he can't move around much. Has very minimal mobility on that. He does walk on the boardwalk a few days a week, which is good. I mean, anything he could do to stay mobile, he should do. But he does try to stay active, and he does, you know, move around and stuff as much as he can, which is good. He should be doing it more. Don't get me wrong. He should. And, you know, listen, I love my dad a lot. And I know these episodes, it was a lot of good stuff and going down memory lane and laughing. But I got to be honest, I'm not afraid to say what's not that good. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. He could be doing more. Like I said, he's far from perfect. He'll be the first person to tell you that, as we all are. But he could and should be doing more. He's a very... My dad's a very stubborn guy. He doesn't like change. Very set in his ways. I mean, to the point where, you know, there'll be like a teapot on the stove that my mom bought, right? And that's the one that they've been using. And my mom will buy a new one, and he will literally get very angry and upset if we throw out the old one. It's weird. In his older age, that has kind of happened, and it happens with many things. And I think he needs to let go of that. So he does need to let go of that stuff, and he needs to, you know, show more, definitely show more appreciation to my mom. I know he loves her immensely. Listen, I'm not saying that at all. He does appreciate what she does, because, I mean, I'll be straight up. My mom keeps the engine of this family running, and that's just what she does. She's an amazing person. Her forgiveness tolerance is at a level that is unmatched any other human being I've ever encountered. Now, I know, yeah, she can get mad, get frustrated, and things like that for sure. But it's amazing to see, and it's quite inspirational. Just as my dad is inspirational in his ways to me and my sister and my brother. And I know he knows that, but he needs to show it more, especially towards my mom. And, you know, he needs to understand boundaries, especially with my sister, because, you know, their relationship has been strained more so since, you know, she moved back home because of the pandemic. You know, she was up in Maine working up there, and her job, you know, was basically, it's more than this, but it was planning travel for students. And obviously travel was just not happening. So the business just cut back completely. But she's been home. She's been working on herself, starting her own business and getting back on her feet. And I'm super proud of her. But, you know, living home is tough. I moved home and lived, like I said, I think it was either this episode or the second episode. I moved back in 2018 to help my mom with my dad. And this was before the surgery. And it was the toughest time of my life. Not only, you know, I'm in my 30s moving home, you know, I work in the entertainment business, which is a challenge every single day. And then I was dealing with that. So I really leaned on my mom, and she leaned on me. And, you know, thank God, my sister is an amazing person and gave my dad her liver. And, you know, here it is years later. And, you know, it's... we're a family, you know. We got our issues and stuff, but you know, we talk, we're open, we love each other, and that's all you can ask. No family is perfect, and that's just facts, you know. But I thought this was a great 3-episode series with my dad. I know he appreciated it. I'm glad I was finally able to finish it. This was a juggernaut to edit. It really was, with all the video and everything. But I'm glad we have this, and he's really going to enjoy it. So I'm actually going to cut back to the video now, and you'll be able to just see me saying thanks, Dad, and everything. You'll be able to hear me do that. And I'll bump up his audio, but it's not going to sound that great. But here, have a listen. Thanks, Dad, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It was a good interview. It's fun to go down memory lane and talk about all that stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but I just want
to... Enjoyed it?
Yeah, I'm glad you did. It's probably cool to...
I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on, and I love you, and I hope you...
love you too.
You know that, you know, we're rooting for you, so just stay tough. Stay positive.
I will.
You know?
I will.
And go easy on those Entenmann boxes. All right, Dad, thanks.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this is the Derek D Dozen, a 2-dozen-minute podcast. I know this last part I went a tad over, but close enough, right? I mean, this thing was crazy to edit. I'm going to try and get more of these episodes rolling again, but I've just been, you know, busy lately with a bunch of different stuff, which is a good thing, and, you know, life's obstacles in general, but... I really appreciate you listening to this 3-part series and taking this trip down memory lane with me and my dad, Anthony DeAngelis, Big Tone. You know, it really is something special to have, and I know he appreciates it. So follow the show on Instagram at Derek D Dozen. Follow me at Derek DeAngelis. Or you know what? Just go to DerekD.com and you can get all my stuff there. Thank you for copping my style, and I'll talk to you guys on the next one.
Root.TV.